Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. We're also going to jump a little further to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 a little later, but we're going to start at chapter 1. Or you can follow along with the digital sermon notes by scanning the QR code on the screen. Go to hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes. Or again, if you're watching at home, I think the QR code might be on your screen at home if I did it right in the computer. But you can follow along either in your Bible or through the sermon notes that will have all the Bible passages listed there as well. But this morning, we are continuing our series, Stuff You've Googled. And in this series, we're looking at familiar phrases, things that we as followers of Jesus sometimes say to each other, things that sound spiritual. They sound encouraging. They even sound biblical. They sound like something the Bible might say. They sound true. They sound like, yeah, that sounds right to me. And when we use these phrases, we're trying to say something helpful. We're trying to be encouraging. We're trying to use language for real life to help us get through the things we're getting through. But sometimes these phrases, they're not enough to carry the weight that we've put on them. They're not enough to carry the weight of what the significance of them are. And today, we're looking at a phrase that many of us might have heard before. And maybe it's something that we've said before. But also, we're going to look at one of the potentially most dangerous phrases in this whole series. One of the phrases that has the most potential to do the most damage to somebody when we say this, and we maybe say it recklessly. Today, we're going to talk about the phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle. God won't give you more than you can handle. And usually when someone will say this, they're trying to give comfort. They're trying to encourage somebody who's going through a difficult season, going through a really hard season, and they're trying to help. They're trying to remind them that whatever you're going through, and no matter how heavy and discouraging and scary it might feel, God is still present. God is still faithful. This isn't going to be the end. You've got this. You can do this. God will get you through it to the other side. And there is something good underneath that. Because God is faithful. God does not abandon his people. God absolutely does meet us in places that we don't know how to handle, in situations and moments in life that are too big, too hard, too scary. God absolutely does meet us in those moments. Some of us could probably look back at the story of our lives at different times and places and situations and say, I don't know how I made it through that. I don't know how I got to the other side. And sometimes that testimony might include a moment of a miracle where things were this way and then God showed up and everything changed in a moment. And sometimes the testimony just looks like, because I'm here, somehow I made it to the other side. And we can look back at our lives and see these moments where somehow, some way, we made it through. But this is where this phrase can become difficult. Because what happens when life actually does feel like more than you can handle? What happens when the burden is too heavy? What happens when the grief that we're trying to walk through doesn't lift? What happens when the anxiety or the worry or the fear won't quiet down? What happens when the diagnosis comes? What happens when the relationship breaks? What happens when the pressure keeps building? What happens when the season just feels like it won't let up? What happens when in those moments, someone with all of the best intentions in the world comes to us and says, "Well, you know, God won't give you more than you can handle." And deep down inside, we have to wrestle because we know I cannot handle this. This phrase that was meant to bring comfort, that was meant to help us, instead becomes a weight. Because if God won't give me more than I can handle, and I can't handle this, then what does that say about me? And it can accidentally say something untrue about our capacity, causing us to question, well, am I weak? Am I failing? Is my faith not strong enough? Am I not strong enough? Am I disappointing God? Should I be better or doing better than I am? If God won't give me more than I can handle, what does it say about me if I can't handle this? And this is why we need to slow down with this one. Because this phrase is trying to remind us of something of God's faithfulness. But Scripture does not give us a picture of a God who stands back at a distance and watches us walk through life and says, "You know, you should be able to handle that. You don't need me for this one. You should be able to do that on your own." And so when someone we love is suffering, we want to say something strong. We want to say something helpful. We want to say, "God is with you." We want to say, "This is not the end. It's not going to have, you can do this. You can make it through." We want to say, "You're not abandoned. God is still with you." And those are good things to say. But we need to be careful. Because in an effort to say or do something loving, we can make a promise that Scripture never makes in order to hold on to promises that Scripture does make. That in order for all these other things to be true, then I want to say that this is true, but it's not. See, Scripture does promise that God is faithful. In fact, Scripture will promise that even when we're not faithful, God will remain faithful. Scripture does promise that he is near to the brokenhearted, that he gives us grace when we need it, that he sustains his people, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Scripture makes us those promises. And so the problem with this phrase is not that it believes too much about God's faithfulness. The problem with this phrase is that it assumes too much of our capacity. The problem isn't that we trust too much in God's faithfulness. The promise is that we trust too much in our capacity. Because God is faithful, that does not mean that I'm strong enough to handle this without him. Because God is good, that does not mean that my burdens should always feel manageable. Because God is present doesn't mean that I shouldn't ever feel overwhelmed. Because God provides, that does not mean that I was designed to carry every weight alone. So yes, we need to hold tightly to the promises of Scripture. Hold tightly to the faithfulness of God. Believe that he does not abandon his people. Believe that he sustains us in suffering. Believe that he can carry us through what we can't imagine that we can survive. But my friends, we need to not confuse God's faithfulness with our capacity. We need to not confuse God's faithfulness with my own strength. Because Scripture actually gives us permission to say something that many of us might feel afraid to say. Many of us might feel like we're not allowed to say. Many of us would actually potentially feel like a failure should these words ever come out of our mouth, because it's not the way that we're supposed to talk. Scripture actually gives us permission to say, "This is more than I can handle." And we see this clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul. If you don't know who the Apostle Paul is, he was one of the most important figures in the New Testament. He was an evangelist. He was somebody who went throughout the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, seeing people's lives transformed and planting churches. Before that, he was actually an enemy of the church. In fact, he was the lead enemy of the church. His job was to go door to door, city to city, arresting, and if it needed to be done, killing followers of Jesus to squash this momentum. But then he meets Jesus, and his life is transformed and changed, and he goes from there to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world, no matter the personal cost. And so Paul is writing to this church in a city called Corinth. It's a church that he's a part of and that he spends considerable time there. And he begins to talk to them about difficult seasons in life. He begins by saying, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." So right out of the gate, this is the very beginning of the letter. It's verse 3. Paul's not embarrassed to talk about hard seasons. He's not embarrassed to talk about suffering. He's not asking the people to live in denial of what could be a difficult season in life. He's not embarrassed to talk about God's comfort because we don't really need that. You're not supposed to say that. He's not embarrassed to speak about being in a place where God's comfort becomes necessary. And then a few minutes or a few verses later, he gets very honest about something that he and those traveling with him have experienced. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he says this: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia." As Paul is traveling throughout the world, he goes through what we're going to discover is an incredibly difficult season. And he wants to share his testimony, the story of what he went through with the church in Corinth. And he says this about it: "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure." And we really, really need to see this. We really need to hear this, because Paul doesn't say we were under great pressure, but what we discovered was that we could still handle it. We were under great pressure, but it was somehow still within our capability. He doesn't say we were stretched, but it was never beyond what we could handle. He says we were under great pressure, and not just beyond our ability. Not we almost got there and God just pushed us across the finish line. He says far beyond our ability to endure. That's big language. That's strong language to speak of this moment in time where Paul found himself. And we need to be reminded of that fact, of who it is that's saying this. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. This isn't somebody who's spiritually immature. This is not someone who doesn't understand faith. This is not someone who just needs a little lesson in what it means to trust God. This is a man who has given his life to following Jesus, who is willing to die for this. And we see actually in times and places, again, he survived only because the people who were attacking him thought he was dead. But he would get back up and he would go continue to preach the gospel to these same people. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, this was far beyond us, beyond our strength, beyond our capacity, beyond our ability to endure it, to handle it, to make sense of it, to find a way to the other side. This was beyond me. And Scripture doesn't shame Paul for saying this. We don't find another letter written to this church where another church leader says, "Hey, I know that Paul told you that this was beyond his ability. I'm just writing to you to say, don't talk like that. That was a moment of weakness for Paul, but it's not true. You shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't view the world like that. You shouldn't speak like that." That's a lack of faith on Paul's part. Paul is not less faithful because he admits that he was overwhelmed. He's not less spiritual because he says the pressure was beyond what he could endure. In fact, his honesty becomes part of his testimony. In the next verse, he says, "So that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we had received a sentence of death." That gives us a picture of how serious this was. This was not a minor inconvenience. This was not a hard week. This was not some bad news. This was not just a busy season. Paul said, "We thought this was it. We saw no way through this. This was the end. So whatever we do with the phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle, we have to also let Paul's words speak to us. Because Paul seems very willing to say, there are some things in life that are more than we can handle. And I think that really matters for some of us to hear. Because those are words that perhaps you haven't let yourself speak about the things that you've been going through, because you don't think Christians are supposed to talk like that. Because maybe you've been carrying something that does really, truly feel too heavy for you to carry. And maybe the hardest part is not only the burden itself, but maybe the hardest part is that while you're carrying this burden that you cannot carry, you think you should be carrying it better. You think, I should be stronger. I should have more peace. I should have more joy. I should be further along. You think if your faith were stronger, maybe you wouldn't feel as overwhelmed as you do right now. But Paul gives us better language than shame or pretending. Paul shows us that faithful people, good, godly people, faithful people, missionary people, spiritual hero people, people that you and I would say, I could never be that. Those people can feel overwhelmed. Faithful people can feel under pressure. Faithful people can reach the end of their strength. Faithful, God-fearing, God-loving people have the right to say, this is beyond me. And it doesn't mean that they've failed. It means that the burden is heavy. It means they need the God of all comfort that we read about in verse 3 to bring comfort. It means they need grace. It means they need Jesus. And my friends, that's not weakness. That's just simply honesty. Because sometimes our refusal to admit weakness is not faith. Sometimes it's pride. I don't want to admit that I can't handle this. I don't want to admit that this is too much for me because I don't want anyone to think that I can't handle this and that it's not too much for me. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's the pressure to present ourselves to ourselves and to the world around us that we are stronger than we think we are. Sometimes it's the belief that if I tell the truth, that the people around me are going to think less of me. That if I tell the truth, everybody else is handling their life on their own. And if I was to say, I can't do this, the people around me are going to think less of me. Or sometimes it's the belief that if we say this, if we admit that we're overwhelmed, it's the belief that God will think less of us. That if I come to God and I say I need your help, that God will think less. But Paul says this. He says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. And that's the turn. Paul does not say, this happened so that I could discover that I am way stronger than I ever imagined. Paul doesn't say, this happened so that I discovered that my capacity was so far greater than I ever imagined, that I discovered I could handle way more than I ever thought I could. He says, this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves. We wouldn't rely on our own strength. We wouldn't discover that I could handle more than I thought. But that we would not rely on ourselves, but on God. So Paul's not saying, actually, it was not more than we could handle. We thought all these things, and then it turned out we were just wrong. He's saying it was more than we could handle, but it was not more than God could carry. And not just God in a vague way, but a God who raises the dead. A God who's not limited by the places where our strength runs out. The God who's not limited when the situation really does look hopeless. The God who can bring life where all we can see is death. See, the promise is not that life will never exceed our strength. The promise is that God is faithful even when our strength is gone. The promise is not that you will always be enough, that you will always have enough, that no matter what life throws at you, you will be strong enough to overcome it. The promise is that the God who can raise the dead is with us in the middle of it. And that changes the way we see our lives, the way we go through things. Because we don't have to minimize it. We don't have to spiritualize it away. We don't have to pretend it's manageable. We don't have to pretend it's okay. It's no problem. I don't have to worry about it. We don't have to pretend that it's manageable when it's not. Instead, we can tell the truth. This is hard. This is heavy. This is more than I can carry on my own. And then from that honest place, we can learn to rely not on ourselves, but on a God who raises the dead. And this is where we're going to jump a few pages deeper into your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is so important for us to see because we come to this place where we can have honesty before God. Okay, let's be honest. But what happens when we're honest? Later in the same letter, Paul will write to this church again about another weakness that he's experiencing in his life, another thing going on in his life where he would want to bring this to God. He describes what he calls a thorn in his flesh. And we don't know what Paul was talking about here. Scripture doesn't give us any more than that. There are some things that we can kind of guess at, some things we can try and understand based on other things that he said, but we don't know if it's physical suffering or emotional anguish or spiritual opposition, but or some kind of ongoing affliction or something else. But whatever it was, we know that Paul wanted it gone. Because he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. three times I brought it to God. I begged God to heal me. I begged God to make this right. I begged God to change my life, to change my circumstance, to change my situation, to bring me into a new place. I begged God. But we come to discover that God's answer to Paul was not the answer Paul was praying for. Paul was honest before God. He brought him his feelings. He said, God, I need your help with this. But God did not remove the thorn. And I think many of us today can identify with that. I prayed and nothing happened. And I prayed and nothing happened. And I prayed and nothing happened. But instead, Paul receives a word from the Lord. God speaks to him. And God tells him this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's not the answer we want. That when we pray to God, God, I need you. I need you to change this. I need you to heal me. I need you to make this different. God, I can't continue to do this. Many of us would prefer God to say, my power is made perfect by removing every weakness in your life. That my grace is sufficient because I will make sure that you never feel weak again. But that's not what God offers Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. He doesn't say your strength will be sufficient. He doesn't say your ability to keep everything under control, not your capacity to hold it all together. My grace will be sufficient. And he says, my power is made perfect in weakness. And that doesn't mean weakness is easy. And it doesn't mean suffering is good. That does not mean that weakness is the place where God's power is absent. Instead, it means that weakness can become the very place where we learn the sufficiency of grace. And there is so much comfort in that. Because some of us are exhausted. Exhausted from trying to be enough. Exhausted from our family. Enough for our work, enough for our responsibilities, exhausted trying to be enough to meet everyone's expectations, enough to keep going, enough to keep smiling, exhausted from trying to be enough to keep serving, enough to keep believing without the questions, enough to keep pretending we're fine, we're exhausted. And into that exhaustion, God says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is enough for the day you're in. His grace is enough for the weakness that you feel. His grace is enough for the prayers that can only come out as a whisper. His grace is enough for the moments where you don't know what to do next. His grace is enough for the burden that you cannot carry by yourself. Sometimes His grace looks like enough strength simply for the next step, or enough peace for this moment, enough courage to have one hard conversation, enough faith to pray one more time, enough hope to just get through today, enough humility to ask for help, or enough endurance to just keep walking. And so we come back to the phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle. And we understand what it's trying to say. It's trying to say that God is faithful. That God has not and will not abandon you. It's trying to say that you can do this. This will not have the final word on your life. You can do this, and those things are true. But Scripture gives us something deeper, something more honest, and something more shaping. Some things really are more than you can handle. Some grief is more than you know how to carry. Some pressure is beyond your ability to endure. And some seasons are heavier than your strength. And my friends, that does not mean that you failed. It means you need grace. It means you need Jesus. It means you need the God who raises the dead. And it means you need the people of God to help carry that burden with you. It means that you can trust, even when life is more than you can handle. Because the deeper truth is this. Some things in life are more than we can handle. But nothing is more than God can carry. So you don't have to pretend. You don't have to prove that you're strong enough. You don't have to be ashamed that the weight feels too heavy. Instead, you can come to the one who says, "My grace is sufficient for you." So, three takeaways from our time together. First, God's faithfulness is not the same thing as our capacity. God is faithful, present, and good. He is loving, kind, and generous. But his faithfulness does not mean that I will never feel overwhelmed, exhausted, or unable to carry what I'm facing. Who God is not who I am. Second, faithful people can feel overwhelmed. Paul openly admitted that he was under pressure far beyond his ability to endure. My friends, admitting weakness is not a failure of faith. Instead, it's often the beginning of dependence on God. And lastly, some things are more than we can handle. But nothing is more than God can carry. The promise of Scripture is not that life will always stay within your strength. The promise is that God remains faithful, even when our strength runs out. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you and we confess that we have a temptation. We confess that we can even feel like we have an obligation, that we have a responsibility to try and carry life on our own. That we, not out of arrogance, not out of from a place of I'm better than this, but God, out of a place where we feel like we should. We feel like we're not allowed to admit that we can't. God, that we take on more than we can carry. And God, we recognize that in our lives, God, there are so many times and places where we can feel exhausted, feel worn out, feel burnt out from trying to do and be things that we were never called to do and be, but we don't know how to not want to do and be them. And so God, I pray for us today. God, would you help us to come to you in our lives, in our moments. God, even as right now we're trying to carry things that we know we're not meant to carry, and maybe they're too heavy, and maybe in our lives right now we're carrying them and we're doing okay, but we know we're not meant to carry them. God, I thank you that you invite us to exchange our weight for yours, and that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, God, I pray for those here today who have been trying to figure it out, trying to understand how to carry, feeling like the weight and the responsibility of the entire world is sitting in their lap. God, I pray that you would meet us today. And God, I thank you that when we come to you embarrassed, when we come to you worried, when we come to you unsure because we know we've failed, we know we've not done the things that we're supposed to do, God, when we come to you, God, I thank you that as our Heavenly Father, God, you look down to us, and God, you simply speak and say, my child, my son, my daughter, my grace is sufficient for you. And so, God, I pray today that we as your children, God, that we would not carry what can't be carried. That we would not fight to win a fight that can't be won. But God, I pray that today, God, we would know that it's okay. That there's times and places and seasons that we cannot carry on our own. But God, I thank you that there's nothing that you can't carry. And so God, we come to you. We place our hope, our trust, and our future in your hands. And we trust that your grace will be sufficient and that your power will be made perfect in our weakness. God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you for the way that you care for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the dropdown. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,